Hi, this is Blake Andrews, lead pastor at Victory World Outreach, Denton, Texas. This is our podcast, and we're so glad that you came to check it out today. I hope this message encourages you and inspires you to do great things for God. We are very, very excited for this today and this whole weekend, what God has been doing. I'm telling you, if you happen to miss the revival, you missed it. If you knew about it and you didn't come, shame on you. If you knew about it and couldn't come, that's all right. But you missed out. Amen? Maybe you didn't know about it. But it was a tremendous move of God, a tremendous spirit. This place was packed to where there was no seats all weekend, even at the discipleship yesterday morning. Amen? Tremendous. Let's give God praise for that. Amen? The churches, all of our churches in Texas were here. Many came from different churches. Obviously, the really far ones didn't bring anybody, but it was amazing. Pastor Petey, by the way, did anybody else get robbed last night? How many of y'all got robbed last night? Just David Guzman? Brianna? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody come into your house and mess with your clocks? Man, I get up at 3:30 in the morning to pray, and I'm walking around the house all happy, and I looked at my clock on the microwave and lost my joy. I said, I just lost an hour of sleep, man. I forgot it was the spring forward thing. Does anybody else not like spring forward? I feel good, though. Praise God. Thank God we were in revival, amen, because usually that hour jacks you up. It does. It's crazy what that hour, and how much that hour helps in the fall. That extra hour, but because of the revival, we're good, amen? But what was I saying before I asked you if you got robbed? I forgot. Petey, thank you. So Pastor Petey texted me, I was up at 4:30 and said, we just got home, 4:30 a.m. And of course, that would have been 3:30, but so they really got jacked up, amen? I don't even know if they tried to go to bed, but. What a blessing to sacrifice for the things of God. Amen? And so I want to talk a little bit this morning about revival. And I want to encourage all of you that are here at this service, if you're able, if you're fanatical, if you want to come back at the 11, to stay for the 11. If you usually come to the 9, that's awesome. But you will not regret it, if you will. At the 11 o'clock service, we have my spiritual father here preaching, Pastor Jones. He's the general of our fellowship. He's the founder of our fellowship, a mightily used man of God. He's taught me everything I know, and we're just blessed that he happens to be in town. It was just a Holy Spirit thing. It wasn't planned, but God planned it. God already knew, and I feel like John the Baptist this morning. I have one coming after me that I'm not worthy to tie his shoes. Amen. So I'm going to prepare the way right now for the Spirit, for Pastor Jones to come and preach to us and minister to us. I could listen to him all day, every day, and I thank God that he's going to be with us. Amen. So I would really, unless you got plans, I would stay, get some. We're going to have food after. We had so much food left over from discipleship, so it might be a little bit early for spaghetti, but you might get hungry. Amen. But we got food. So after, stay, be radical. Go, you'll have something to say at work this week. Say, I went to church from 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Freak out, amen? How many be radical this morning? Might be 12:30. But I don't know what he's going to preach, but it's going to be good, amen? But I want to talk a little bit about this morning, the signs of revival. The signs of revival. And help us recognize that we are in revival this morning, amen? How many recognize that we are? You know, we've been praying for this as this week. I'm going to talk a little bit from my heart this morning and give you some great scriptures and some good guidance. But it's been a very fulfilling weekend for us as a church, for us as pastors, for what we've been praying for and believing for. To see God do what he did this weekend was amazing and tremendous. The only thing that I was frustrated about, but I understand it, is we could have had my dream, my vision come to pass. We could have had people sitting on this stage if somebody would have just been bold enough to come sit on the stage. Because we had a bunch of people, I don't know how many, but we had a bunch of people out in the fellowship hall It was so packed that they were sitting out in the fellowship hall. And it would have just been cool just to see one person. I wish I could have sat there. I guess I could have done it, huh? Why didn't I do it? I should have done it. I should have been the leader. But it was amazing to see the vision being fulfilled. You know, it's taken a long time. It takes a long time to do something big for God. Nothing happens overnight. If you're here and you want to see God do amazing things, you got to stick with it. The entire weekend was being aligned, sticking with it, staying loyal, having longevity. And when you stick with it, you begin to see some of these things come to pass. And now our church, some of you that are guests or new or don't know, we're in a snowball effect right now. Where things are happening in such an amazing way that it's kind of like if you've ever, and I haven't experienced this myself, but I've heard about it. If you've ever seen people who do business and they start to make money, and then when you have to have money to make money. And so once they start making money, their money starts making money for them, and then the money just keeps making money, and then you have money to make more money. And it's that same idea with the church. When God begins to move and the Spirit begins to revive, it's like a snowball effect going down a mountain, and nothing can stop it. Amen? And that's what we're in right now, and you'll see some of the things that are some signs of revival. But, I mean, just like I said, looking at the place packed out, hearing the pastors, how many were blessed to, was that thunder? Couldn't be thunder. It's Holy Spirit. Shaking the walls, amen? Right there on the revival, praise the Lord. Remember where it said the walls shook in Acts 4:31? Amen. Matt, keep losing my train of thought. I'm glad y'all are paying attention. No, what was the last thing I said? Thank you. Man, I'm glad y'all are paying attention. How many could notice the change, the difference, the authority in the pastors when they gave the offering, when they prayed? Because you saw all of them stand at this pulpit many times and look at the difference between the anointing and the favor and the every Sunday preaching to a church and building a church. And so all these things coming together is the vision, right? We've been seeing this in our church, home church, for 40-something years. But it's been our vision since we started this church 16 years ago in the living room to be the senders as well. And so I want you to know that we're in exciting times and we don't need to stop now. We don't need to go, okay, we arrived, we made it. That's what the devil wants us to do. We need to keep pressing on and keep pushing forward. It was so amazing all weekend to hear the words, to hear the authority, to have the altar calls, to see people baptized in the Holy Spirit, saved, people saved every service, including the discipleship, lives changed, decisions made. And then last night, what we saw last night was amazing. We did the thing where we asked people that if they would be willing to go out, and we asked people that had never done it, and I think about 15 guys came forward that said they would go, that have never done it before. And then after I said, how many guys were here that have already done it? We counted between 40 and 50 guys that are willing to go out and start a church. Y'all, did y'all hear that? Between 40 and 50 men and their wives and some single men praying for a wife that would go if God opened the door. That's a lot of churches. How many believe we can do it all through God? So Acts chapter 3, verse 19 is a great, great, great verse, because if you think about it, there's been no greater revival ever in the history of the church, except that when it started. I've never seen or heard of a revival like the one that happened in Acts, and that is our goal, to be like the book of Acts. Peter comes out of that upper room filled with the Holy Spirit, begins to preach with boldness, and 5,000 people got saved that day. Amen? Was it 5 or 3? Somebody know? It's 5 or 3. I'm going to go with evangelistic speaking with the 5. Okay? And all kinds of people got saved, and that started where they started meeting in houses, and then they went in at 3. Was it 3? 3, right? That later on there's a time that's 5. 3,000 people get saved, and all these things begin to happen. And so at this moment of this verse we're going to read, he is preaching to these people. And something happens that is a precursor for what we're seeing today. You're going to see some things in this verse that are the signs of revival. And the first sign, number one, the first sign always to a revival, a real, how many would say real revival with me? That means a real sovereign move of God. I was saved in a real revival. And many of you know that, some of you don't. I was saved in a revival that we just went Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I was saved in a revival that went 4 months. 4 months straight. And the only day they took off after a while was Saturday nights. They would start on Sunday, and they would go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They would take Saturday night off, and many people were praying that night and pick up again Sunday, and it went for 4 months. Hundreds and hundreds of people saved, myself included. Then it moved out to a park. We did outside meetings. People were healed. People were demons were cast out. Lives were changed. And so I know what a revival looks like. And ever since I got saved, I have wanted and desired to see that again in my own life. I've seen many glimpses. But I'm starting to see right now what I've been believing for and praying for many years happening. Amen? So the number one beginning to a revival, a sign of a revival, a true revival, is repentance. When people are sorry for their sins. They're sorry. It says, so they said to him before this, what do we need to do? And he says, repent, therefore, and be, watch this, converted. Converted. We'll get into that in a second. That your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. How many are refreshed this morning from this revival? When the Spirit of God moves, when God is doing something powerful in His people, there's a refreshing. That's why even though we got robbed of an hour, we feel good this morning. I don't feel like I got robbed of an hour because we've had a refreshing weekend. Amen? And then you got, I want to read to you what I believe revival is. Listen to this. Revival is a spiritual awakening from a state of dormancy or stagnation. How many have ever seen or smelt stagnant water? It's probably second to a dead corpse in smell. And I know it well, walking the streets of Costa Rica and the poverty areas and Mexico as well and Kenya as well and Congo as well, many countries I've been to where there's poverty and they don't have correct plumbing and correct things, and water would be everywhere, and you'd be walking along and you would think somebody was dead. And then you look down and you see the nasty stagnant water. And so revival is a people that are stagnant and dormant and dead, reviving and in their spirits. It's in the life of a believer. And it causes a love for God and, watch this, an appreciation for God's holiness. When you are in a revival and God begins to move in a spiritual way, there is a appreciation and a desire for holiness. You hear me say this all the time. It's not now where I'm saying what we see and hear so much on social media and a lot of those videos that you watch that you shouldn't be watching, people that you lift up that you shouldn't be lifting up because you don't know who they are. Man, y'all have been amening all weekend. You going to stop now? Amen? Right? Woe is me. People like that, because in those places, they're you don't know the life that they're living, and what they're doing many times is they're flaunting carnality. They're talking about their latest tattoo they got, or they're talking about the lights. They're talking about the show. They're talking about the people they know. They're doing all these different things instead of, we know what? We should be seeking God's holiness. We should be becoming less like the world and more like Jesus. A true revival, people aren't looking to fulfill their flesh. They're looking to crucify their flesh. Amen? True revival, people are not looking to fulfill their flesh. They're looking to crucify their flesh. So there's an awareness and appreciation of God's holiness. A passion for His Word and His church. A convicting awareness of personal and corporate sin. We talk about all the time, church, if we want to see a move of God, and personally we have to repent, and corporately we have to repent so that we can be right with God and have the anointing of God, because how many know God's anointing can't be where there's sin? And finally, a spirit of humility and a desire for repentance and growth in righteousness. How many received that this morning? So the number one is real repentance. Real repentance. Not a word of repentance, but a true, I'm sorry. a heartfelt conviction of sin, a feeling of offense towards God. That we're not sinning and going, well, I know Jesus forgave this and he'll forgive me. We feel sorry. We feel horrible. We feel like we have offended God when we sin. That we're running away from the sinful way of life and turning towards a God-honoring way of life. Amen? How many agree? 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Do you notice that before God hears from heaven, there has to be a humility, there has to be a calling on his name, and there has to be a turning from our wicked ways. You cannot expect God to move when you are not moving away from the things of the enemy. If you're a friend with the enemy or a friend with the world, the Bible says you're an enemy of God. And so when there's a true revival, radical new things begin to happen. Radical decisions begin to be made. You no longer desire, again, I'm not trying to beat that dead horse, but you're not trying to feed your flesh. You're trying to crucify your flesh. You're trying to feed your spirit. The things that drew you before are no longer drawing you anymore. You have a desire to be used by God, and you have a desire to hate sin and the things of sin. So he says, when we do this, he says, I'll hear from heaven, and I'll forgive your sin, and I'll heal the land. Does anybody believe that our United States of America needs a revival? It's going to start here in Denton, amen? It's going to start with us. Number two, the first one is repentance. The second sign of true revival is a true conversion. A true conversion. You're going to see people getting saved that are truly converting to Christ. There is a change. That's the biggest understanding of what a conversion is. I pray all the time for our church, and I pray all the time for our new churches. And let me just tell you, I said this before, I'm going to say it again. A true sign of a church beginning is when a first convert is saved. A church has, they can be having church. I tell the pastors this all the time. You can be having church, and listen, praise God. Listen, praise God for these men and women who have their families. It's such a blessing to be Pastor Nestor and Priscilla, to have their two boys that are older that can serve already and are serving. And then Pastor Jesse's got a couple of his older kids. And Pastor Dwayne's got two of his older kids. One of them was 16, 17. They have these kids. That's the first blessing, that their kids are serving God and they're having church. But I tell them, your church does not start to be officially a church until you get a convert. Meaning somebody walks through those doors and is converted to Christ in that place. That's when a true church starts. And so conversion is not church attendance. Amen? Conversion is not reading your Bible. Conversion is not hanging out with people who are believers. Conversion is a change, a radical change. And listen, it involves constant change and constant consistency. Constant change, that's a lot of C's, and constant consistency. Conversion is constant change and constant consistency. Not every once in a while, I'm having a good week, I'm repenting this week, I'm turning from my ways this week. Constant change. You're every day looking more like Jesus and every day looking less like the world. Right? Amen? And so that's what God's looking for. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and that's that condition, if anyone has truly been converted, they're a new creation. How many know a lot of Christians don't get past this part right here? They haven't seen the old things passed away. When they repent and they pray truly from a repentive heart, God forgives. How many know God's not going to forgive a fake prayer? Amen? We can say the sinner's prayer together in a service. We can say, I believe in Jesus. We can say, I repent. But if you don't really repent and aren't really sorry for your sin, he's not going to forgive you because he knows you. The Bible says he weighs the intentions and the motives of a heart. And so a real revival is where somebody is truly sorry. And listen, church, I understand that not everybody has the same conversion experience. That's obvious, right? Not everybody has it. But I had somebody this week tell me during the revival that we were talking, and they said I don't truly remember when I got saved. She kind of grew up in a going in and out of church, and she said, I can't remember the date of when I got saved. And I said, well, what about here in the church now that you're coming and can you remember a time when you really changed? And she said, okay, now that makes sense, because she couldn't remember. You have to remember the day you got saved. If it's a true conversion, now if you were like 6 or 7 and you served the Lord your whole life, I believe you're saved. You've never gone into those things. But how many know you should know when you got saved? I mean, that's a pretty life-changing experience. Amen. And so I'm passionate about that because of the way that I got saved. I was at that altar for 3 hours. I know what it is to cry my eyes red and snot my nose dry. Amen? And get up and see all that on the altar and walk out of the church different. All the old things passed away. And as that verse says, all things now have become new. Amen? That's the sign of true conversion, is that old things pass away. Doesn't mean those temptations aren't going to come. It means that you're going to get through it. So another thing about true conversion is this. It is the fruit of your faith. It is the fruit of your repentance and the consistent obedience. Let me say that again. True conversion, you're going to see fruit. How many know the Bible says you'll know them by their fruits? Okay? If you see someone who claims to be a Christian and there's no fruit in their life, it's not that you're trying to be Mr. Judge or Mr. Fruit Police. But the truth is, if that person is not bearing fruit, they're not truly converted. Because if you're truly converted to Christ, you're going to bear fruit. There's many verses in the Bible that talk about that. And Jesus says, for one, he prunes us. Cuts off the stuff that needs to be there. But then he says, if something's not bearing fruit, he cuts it off. He says, this isn't working for me. It's not doing anything. So I don't want to be cut off. Amen. Revival is happening in our lives, and it's causing us to truly repent and be consistent in our obedience. Let me read this again. True conversion is the fruit of faith, repentance, and consistent obedience. The Bible says, faith comes by hearing. And the word of God, hearing by the word of God. So you're going to have things confirmed in your spirit. How many have noticed that? In a revival, you start to see confirmation. You hear confirmation. You say, that's something I've been praying. That's something I've been reading. That's something the Lord's been speaking to me. All throughout this weekend in a true revival, the Holy Spirit is confirming things in our lives. And he's been talking to you about it, and the preacher gets up and confirms it. That's what happens in a true revival. Matthew 3:8 says, therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Number three, here's another thing that's a sign of revival. Total deliverance. People don't get half delivered. They get totally delivered. Amen? Totally delivered. And we understand that we're all in a process. We understand that some people take longer than others, but the truth is when a remove of God is really happening, things just cold turkey. Cold turkey. You heard Pastor Jesse last night get up. He always mentions it. It was interesting because there was someone new in our church, and I had just told them, this guy was, I didn't know if he was going to say, I said, this guy was a meth addict for 20 years, and right after I said that, he said, I was a drug addict for 20 years. And he says it every time, and I thank God for it because he knows what God saved him from. And when he came into this church, God saved him immediately, and he got cold turkey immediately delivered from the addiction to drugs. Amen. When God is involved, there's true deliverance. In other words, you get to a place where you don't want those things anymore. You don't desire those things anymore. You don't play around with those things anymore. There is an absolute total, say that with me, total deliverance. Watch what John, if you don't believe that, watch what John says. Chapter 8, Jesus' words. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin, in other words, habitual sin, is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Watch this. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. How many know that the Son makes us free today? And it's not some kind of 10, 12-step program, amen. It's the blood of Jesus, the power of God. He makes us free, 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 truly free. Set free. I'm set free. And when those temptations come around, nope, I'm free. I don't want anything to do with that. That's not who I am. That's who I used to be. How many know you used to be those things? All the New Testament chapters talk about who you were. Who you were and what you did and everything's in the past tense. Number four, a real reverence for the Word of God. A real reverence for the Word of God. This is Revival 101. You check yourself, ask yourself, am I in a revival? Because how many know there's a personal revival and a corporate revival? Really, what happens in a corporate revival starts with someone's personal revival. I used to preach a message called Revival Starts With Me. A personal revival. So all the revivals that ever happened, if you look at that, going back to Acts 3, who started that revival? It was God, obviously, but who did he use? Peter. Peter preached with a boldness. They were pierced to the heart. And what was he doing? He was preaching the Old Testament. He was preaching what Jesus came to be. He was preaching what Jesus did on the cross. And as he was preaching the Word of God, the Word of God cut them to their hearts. It cut them deep down inside and told them, you need to change. And they changed. They said, what do we need to do? And it goes back to that verse, repent. And so they repented. And so the Word of God, if you're in a revival and you're in a spiritual revival yourself, you're going to have a desire to read the Word of God. Doesn't mean you're going to understand it all. Doesn't mean it's all going to make sense. Doesn't mean, but you're going to have a hunger and a desire for the Word of God. Because you're not only are you going to have a hunger and desire for it, you're going to have a reverence, which means as Psalm says, I've hid the Word of God in me so that I will not sin against it. Amen? So there's a reverence. There's a holy thought about the Word of God. We don't just take this book and just look at it as some other book. It's the book. It's the Word of God. Amen? It's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit, bone and marrow. It weighs in the motives and the intentions of the heart. When we read the Word of God reads us. How many want the Word of God to read you this morning? Amen? Like we talked about the whole weekend, tell me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear. Amen? Like Pastor John said, don't put the tape over the check engine light. Right? Don't cover it up. Sometimes you have to do that with things. Sometimes you have to do a temporary fix, but don't do it for long. Amen? I was trying to mow my yard, and my riding lawnmower that I've had for like 4 years is starting to get old, starting to mess up on me and fall apart a little bit. And so I had to use some old-fashioned duct tape. Let me tell you something. Duct tape and zip ties can change your life. Those two things right there can go so far. Bless the people who invented duct tape and zip ties. I got stuff holding my car together under the zip ties. I got duct tape holding my mower together. Because when you go to put the blade in, the blade's kind of loose, and so it pushes up against this little piece of metal that keeps it from falling off. Had a little help from my wife, just like she helped me with the other thing. This time she helped me quicker and earlier. I was about to do a whole bunch of stuff, and she goes, oh, the belt's off. And I said, oh, thank you. She saw what I couldn't see. I saw the missing piece. But that's temporary, right? And so sometimes we have to put some duct tape on it or some zip ties on it, But there's coming a time when God's going to use his word to make all that stuff right and perfect, and you won't need the duct tape anymore, and you won't need the zip ties anymore, amen? Because you got a hunger for the word of God. The word begins to read you and change you and transform you, and that reverence for the word of God is something where that's why we bring our Bibles. That's why we read our Bibles. That's why we study the word of God to make sure it's true so that we won't sin against it. Number five, got two more. These are signs of true revival, a powerful presence of the Lord. I don't think that we understand how easy it is. How many know when you've ever been around something? Let's just say, for example, somebody is in a family, and that family has finances. That family has wealth. That family does well. One of the biggest problems, and by the way, I wasn't one of those growing up, so I definitely don't know what it feels like, but I have heard the concept. You hear people who have riches and finances, and that one of the hardest things is to get the kids to understand what that has cost. That, and we talk about how so many people that get inheritances or win the lottery. How many have heard about the people that win the lottery? I don't know what the statistic is, but it would be very high, the amount of people who win the lottery and within a few years are broke, because they did not earn the money that they got, and so they didn't appreciate the sacrifice, and this is where I'm going with this, and they took for granted what they had, because it didn't cost them anything. I think a lot of times when we come into a church like ours and we're blessed with the presence of God, and we take it for granted. Because listen, God doesn't have to show up here. Amen? Y'all want to follow me? He don't have to be here. He can be somewhere else. Now, he's omnipresent, but he chooses where he wants to be, and he'll be where he's welcome, where the Holy Spirit's welcome. And the truth is, sadly today, there's a lot of churches that don't let the Holy Spirit in. If the Holy Spirit showed up, they would possibly kick him out and wouldn't recognize if he was. We have the blessing of having the presence of God. I mean, Friday, we don't go off of feelings. I tell you that all the time. You can't go off that. You can't base things off. Did God move? Well, I didn't feel it. You can't do that. But let me tell you what you can do. You can know when you feel it. Does that make sense? Y'all catch that? Don't get caught up in, well, I didn't feel anything that service. That didn't mean God. Many times I've preached a message and stood over at the end and thought, man, I totally failed. Nothing happened. I didn't do it good. I didn't do you justice, Lord. The Lord spoke to me many times and said, don't base the faces or the reactions of the people off of what I told you to preach. Okay? So that we cannot base it off feelings. But let me tell you something. When you feel it, it's awesome. And I don't know about y'all, but last night and Friday night, there was like an electric shock in this place. There was electricity in the air. Did y'all feel that? The presence of God was so evident, so powerful, so real, so tangible. And so that when there's a revival, when there's a stirring of hearts, when there's a transformation of lives and all these things are clicking, the presence of God shows up. And think about this. In the Old Testament, when you read about Moses and the cloud by day and the fire by night, there's some things, church, that we are, many things we're blessed to have in the New Testament. Number one being the grace of God. Thank God for the grace of God. We don't have to do animal sacrifices. We don't have to do a lot of things. We don't have to be fearful that God's going to open up the ground and take 23,000 people into the ground and swallow them up. We don't have to be afraid in the sense of the Old Testament to touch the ark the wrong way, trying to carry it the wrong way and die, right? But there are some things in the Old Testament we can be jealous about. They saw the presence of God. They saw a cloud and they knew that was God. And he said, you follow that cloud. And how many would like to see the presence of God in a fire or in a cloud? So there are some things that, and that's kind of how God is in his balance of life. There's things that they got to have that we don't have, and there's things we get to have that they didn't have, and we're going to be spending eternity talking about those things with Moses and Abraham and the old Ruth and Esther and all the Old Testament people about the things they didn't get to see and the things we got to see that they didn't, and vice versa. But the presence of God, a powerful presence of God, is evidence and a sign that there is a revival. In other words, it's real, it's tangible, and it's refreshing. We say all the time, if someone leaves this place and they don't remember the songs we sang, they don't remember the title of the message, but they knew they were in the presence of God, that's the key. Because how many know when somebody's coming in new, there's a lot of new things that can happen in a service that they haven't seen, that they haven't heard, that they haven't experienced. They don't question it at the bar, but they do question it at church. Right? No one questions the craziness at the bar. But if someone gets a little excited at church, they question it. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You will show me the path of life. And here's the key. In your presence is fullness of joy. That's why sometimes I joke with you, I mess with that. So let me see your teeth, be excited, be happy, tell your face you're happy, because when we're in the presence of God, we should be happy. Amen. How many are happy this morning? How many got the joy of the Lord this morning? Amen. Even though your face doesn't show it, you got the joy of the Lord. Amen. Everybody smile with me this morning. Let me see them pearly whites, or the pearly whites you wish you had. Amen. Last one. Number six. This is an awesome one. Miracles are happening. Signs and wonders. We know this verse, Mark 16:17-18, I believe it is. And these signs, doesn't say might follow, says will follow those who believe. In my name, what's that name? Jesus, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Don't think it's weird when people speak in tongues. This is from Jesus. They will speak with new tongues. Do you have 18? If they take up serpents and if they drink anything deadly, meaning nothing's going to hurt us, nothing's going to keep us from doing the will of God, it will by no means hurt them, and they will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. Miracles and signs and wonders are a sign of revival. And when you say, is our church in revival? Sometimes you don't, how many know sometimes you don't recognize the miracles like you should? Do you realize that what is a miracle for you might not be a miracle for somebody else, but it's a miracle? And I've learned over the years to appreciate and love the miracles that are small. The ones that don't seem so big, little things that make you go, wow, God's really paying attention. God really loves me. There's so many things, as I close this morning on this part of miracles, there's so many things that I see happen in this church and with our people that is so humbling to me. When I hear that people drive 2.5 hours to come to this church, that's a miracle. Is that a miracle to anybody else that someone would drive 5 hours round trip every Sunday? They're not here today. They texted me. They have a bunch of animals that we're eating the fruit of their labor of. Get to eat eggs every week. Don't get jealous. That's called pastor's perks. I got to drink some goat milk this last week. If you've never had goat milk, change your life. Nice little bottle of goat milk. But anyways, they have more. If we miss the rapture and the tribulation happens, we're going to go to Oklahoma and be with them. They got all kinds of animals. They're doing a little zoo, I think. But they're bringing us sausage and bacon and all kinds of stuff. But they drive 5 hours every Sunday. Natalie, if you don't know Natalie, she was driving from Mansfield, single woman in our church, from Mansfield every service. That's a long ways away. And now she's in school in Tyler. And she drives 2.5 hours to church, most of the time by herself. Now her mom's coming. How many know those are miracles? We over and over again, sometimes when someone gives up to give a testimony, David just gave his recently, we hear these testimonies, we hear these miracles, and we can be, it goes back to that, we can be so used to miracles that we take them for granted. We're in revival because these things are happening. When miracles are happening, it's a sign God is here. You know what the flip of that is? No miracles. No signs and wonders. You know what if you take all these things that I just mentioned and you reverse them, that's a sad thing. No miracles happening. No signs and wonders happening. No, just go with me for a second as I finish. And I think the musicians are on the way. No presence of the Lord. What would it be like to come in here and not feel and know the presence of the Lord? Nobody revering the word of God. Nobody being delivered. Everybody staying the same. All the people who are drug addicts are still drug addicts. All the people who are alcoholics are still alcoholics. All the people whose marriages were messed up are still messed up. All the financial problems that have been fixed are still there. Are y'all paying attention to what the church could look like if we weren't in revival? What was number two? No conviction. Sorry, no conversions. Nobody being saved. Nobody coming to Christ. Nobody's life changing. Church, as a pastor of this church, the one thing that I want to see the most is souls saved. When there's a service, and I hope maybe it might be this one, when there's a service and no one gets saved, I get sad. Not because it's a waste, because we're here, that's not it, but people got to get saved. Could you imagine, though? Did you know, maybe you don't know, there's churches that go a whole year and never see somebody saved? That's a fact. There are churches today that might be 50 or 100 people, and next year, 2025, they're going to be 50 or 100 people or maybe less. See, we take it for granted when we see these people come forward and get saved because we're in revival and repentance. We talk about it all the time. If we didn't have true repentance here, the crime rate would be higher. Do y'all understand that? There's a lot of potential for crime in this place, and I'm one of them. I promise you I'm one of them. Don't think I'm not one of them. We all could do some really bad things, but here we are sitting in church changing our lives. Amen. Amen? Thank God. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Real revival. Real repentance. Real conversions. Lord, real deliverance. A real reverence for the word of God. A tangible, real, powerful presence of the Lord. And miracles and signs and wonders, Father. Today, we thank you. Lord, I can't speak for the church, but I thank you so much, God, for what you're doing in this church. We are so humbled. We give you all the glory. And we thank you for the lives that you're changing today, Father. The lives you changed on Friday night. Not just here, but in other churches. The lives that you changed yesterday. The lives you're going to change today. The lives you're going to change next week. Father, I pray a special blessing over every man and every woman and every teenager and every child that's in this place today, that they would understand and realize that they're in a place where God is moving. That they would recognize the signs of revival. And Lord, if they're not having those things happen in their life, today would be the day they would begin to see that today they would repent. True repentance. Today they would be converted to Christ. In that verse it says, repent and be converted so that times of refreshing would come. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed all over this place this morning, maybe you're that one today. Maybe you're one of the five. Maybe you're one of the ten. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior. I'm not asking if you've come to church or been a member of a church. I'm asking, have you converted to Christ? Have you given your life to Jesus? Have you surrendered to Jesus? Have you said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me? How many today could be honest with God? The Lord's touching your heart and say, Pastor, you're talking to me. The Holy Spirit's talking to me. I need to be born again today. Would you just lift up your hand? I need to be saved. Just put it up. put it right back down all over this place. I see your hand, young lady. God bless you. How many more? All over this place. Honest hearts. If you died today, if you passed into eternity, oh, here's another pastor trying to scare me. No, I'm trying to tell you that the Bible says once we die, we stand before a living God. There'll be no atheists in hell. They'll know. They'll find out that God was real. And right now, you can't deny that the Holy Spirit is touching your heart. Jesus said in Revelation that he's knocking on the door of your heart and he's saying, let me in. We have a free will, though, so he won't force his way in. We have to accept him. We have to believe him. We have to receive him. Today, if you've never done that, today you can be for sure that you can stand before God as a loving Savior because he loves you. But he looks for obedience. When that cloud by day and fire by night was moving in the Old Testament, every time that they disobeyed is where they would lose the presence of God. God is looking for simple obedience. Well, I don't know if I believe. Well, Jesus said, if you want to go to heaven, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No one's getting into heaven except through me. It's very exclusive. He said, I like what I think Pastor Brian said. Nobody else has ever been that exclusive. Jesus is the only one that says, I'm the only way. All the other religions, all the other gods make many ways to get to heaven. Jesus said, no, there's just one. It's me. Because I died on the cross for your sins. I took your place. All you got to do is receive me and accept me, and then I'll change you from the inside out. 5 more seconds. How many more could say, today is my day. Just lift up your hand and put it down. I want to be saved today. I want to get right with God. Maybe you're here and you know the Lord. You've said that prayer, but you're not right with God today and you need to come back home. You need to get right with the Lord. How many would say, that's me this morning? Just put your hand up. Say, I'm a backslider. I see your hand. I need to come home. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand all over this place this morning. If you raise your hand quickly, we want to do something very important. We came to church just for you. We came to church just for you to hear the gospel today. You're the reason we're here. How many believe that? That someone raises their hand, that's why we came to church, so they could know Jesus. How many remember when that was you? You were the one that raised your hand. Every time we come to church, someone raises their hand and says, I need Jesus. That's the reason we're here. If a church has a church service and they're happy, then no one gets saved and they're happy and content, something's wrong. Something's wrong because that's what we're here for. So quickly, if you raised your hand for rededication or for the first time, just come down right here. Stand right in front of me. I want to pray for you. Just come down. Amen. Come on. Let's be thankful. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Someone will come stand behind you guys this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. We had church just for y'all today. Amen. Now today you just say, Lord, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry for the things I've done. And he'll look at your heart and he'll forgive you. Everything you've ever done. Amen. So say this with me. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I fall short of your glory. Please forgive me. Please wash me clean with your precious blood that you shed on the cross out of love for all of humanity and especially for me. I believe that you took my place as a substitute for God's anger and wrath against sin on the cross. And I believe when you said it is finished, you went into eternity. And you spent 3 days in that tomb. And on the third day, you defeated death so we could go to heaven, so we could have eternal life. I believe that, and I confess that with my mouth and in my heart. Please wash me clean and forgive me of all my sins and write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And from this day forward, I'm going to serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for listening. If you want to hear more messages, please subscribe to our podcast channel. And if you like it, consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. For more content from VWO Denton, go to our website at vwotexas.com.